This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's the legendary Bruce Smith. There's a Football Life on NFL Network coming up this Friday at 10 p.m. on the NFL Network, which you can check out following Bruce Smith. Hey, Bruce.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for being on the
show.
Thanks
for joining us.
Bruce, by the way, finished his career with 200 sacks.
It's a perfect number.
It's a great number.
43 forced fumbles.
Right.
It's a lot of forced fumbles.
Right.
Two interceptions. At least what I'm seeing is just one touchdown. Is that right, Bruce?
I believe that's correct.
What do you mean just one touchdown?
Well, I just want to ask, he's a defensive player. I know he's a defensive player. So that one touchdown, you know, you watch games nowadays, well, there's 11 guys doing a pose in the end zone. What did you do after your score?
Well, when I was young and immature, I would dance. And as I matured and Marv Levy came aboard and taught us how to be a pro, I started helping the quarterback up, but only to remind him that I'll be back.
that's great.
That's on your sacks. I'm talking about on your touchdown. What did you do?
My touchdown. Well, I danced on the touchdown as well. But once again, I guess there's a time and a place for everything, and in the heat of the moment and the excitement, things take control that you aren't aware of that at that point in time. But again, with maturity and with people around you that are teaching you how to be a pro, you evolve as a player.
So you evolve. So that kind of gets us to a topic here in D.C. It's we don't think it's necessarily the biggest deal, but Dwayne Haskins, the rookie quarterback, didn't go out for the victory formation on the last play. I don't know if you're aware of this, because he was taking a selfie with the crowd. What would you make of that?
A little bit of the same situation that took place with me. You have to finish the job. And you have to have a sense of awareness to understand that the game is not over until that final whistle is blown and you see zeros on the clock. So having said that, this will be a learning experience for him, one in which I'm sure he will take some lessons away from, and it won't happen again.
Remind us of your time here when you were with the Redskins. You had I remember this, but you had 29 sacks when you were here. You had 10 when you were 37 years old. At 39, you had 9 sacks for the Skins,
yeah,
and then you played another year. You played here while you were 40 years old. Tell us what you remember about your time here in D.C.
Well, I'm very grateful and thankful to Dan Snyder, North Turner, and the Redskins fans for allowing me the opportunity to essentially come back home and play in front of a home crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It was a memorable experience, If I could share this with you, one of the reasons I came to the Redskins, obviously, because it's closer to home being from Norfolk, Virginia. But when I was scouting around looking for different teams, the Patriots wanted me to come there, the Redskins, the Raiders, and a couple of other teams. But I looked around and I saw where would be the perfect fit for me. And I looked and I studied the teams. The Redskins were second in the league in scoring, and they were last in the league in total defense.
Right.
And I said, that's where I can make an impact.
Right.
I'm that defensive player that can get in there and mix it up and put up some good numbers. So having said that, Dan went out. He got Deion Sanders. He drafted Champ Bailey. He had Chris Samuels, Lavar Arrington, and so forth. So the defense was stacked and loaded. And we flipped the script. We ended up being top five in defense, but we were dead last in offense. So that thought process didn't work out so well. The offense, who would have ever thought going from number two in total offense being scored, and then the following year being last?
Because you had that, you were in that weird window there where you played, correct me if I'm wrong, you played a little bit for Norv. Terry Rubisky was the interim for like three coaches. You played for Marty, and then you played a year or two under Spurrier, right?
Don't forget Ray Rhodes. He was the interim, too.
Oh, Ray Rhodes.
I forgot
too.
That.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What was that? Who of those, like, which of those guys do you look back on fondly? I mean, we're, you know, Spurrier, obviously everybody gets a sort of a kick out of the Steve Spurrier stories. Do you have any to give us?
Well, I don't get on the radio and talk poorly about anyone that I've played with or played against or coached by or so forth. It was a learning experience, and I know it was killing Dan to make all of these decisions and to put his heart and soul and money into bringing talent to the team, and ultimately it not being the right fit or the right system for those particular players. And it's very unfortunate because obviously the great history that's with the Washington's Redskins deserves to have a much better team than been produced.
Were you there when Marty tried to teach Daryl how to play corner?
Yeah, the back pedal, that infamous incident.
I was there.
I'm sure that went well.
Yeah, I was there. There are more stories, but nevertheless, it was a great experience being back home. The only regret that I had in the decision, I just wish we would have won more and we would have made it to the playoffs.
What do you make of where the organization is now? Where, I mean, it was a one-storied franchise, and now, you know, your tickets are going on sale for the last game for $4.
That's unfortunate. That's a fall from grace. I believe with getting the right people in the front office, this thing can be turned around. Obviously, it was a good win this past weekend. They've got some talent on the team. I don't know where the Redskins are with the salary cap and their ability to be able to bring on young players that can grow together and gel together. But equally as important as that, you have to have players that are self-motivated. And you have to have coaches that know what they're doing on the team.
Have you had a chance to watch any of their games yet this year?
Yeah, I have.
What do you make of Sweat, Montez Sweat? I was super excited when we drafted him. It hasn't been quite nearly as productive. But people tell me, you know, sometimes it takes edge rushers a couple years to kind of figure it out.
Yeah, typically it takes about 3 years on the average to really be able to put it all together. And if you have one that puts it together sooner, that means he has the potential of being something special. But it took me 2 years to figure it out. But I didn't understand the importance of playing the run. And then the following year, I started understanding the importance of playing a run because if you don't stop the run, you won't have an opportunity to rush the quarterback.
Right.
So I was able to put it together, thank God, with coaches like Ted Cottrell and Marv and some of the others and even my teammates that emphasize the importance of being that complete player. See, we have too many specialists that are running around in certain situations. He's a rundown stopper, or he's a pass rush specialist. Well, that just means to me that you're not a complete player. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to put those two together, that's when you become a dynamic player and a force to be reckoned with.
Joined by the great Bruce Smith of Football Life on Bruce Smith premieres this Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. What should we expect? You're back at your high school, Booker T. Washington, your days at Virginia Tech. I guess everything, right?
Yeah, it's a great story. Starting here in Norfolk, Virginia, and Booker T. Washington High School, it touches on my parents, my sister and my brother, and some of the life experiences that I had growing up of being bullied as a kid. I was a young, timid kid and didn't really come into my own until I started playing sports.
How big was the guy who bullied you?
Well, they were older, okay. and sometimes it was more than one. And it was just an experience that I don't wish upon any kid growing up. That's an unkind way to treat an individual when they're growing up, just because you're a few years older or a little bit bigger or whatever it happens to be. But for me, it taught me how to treat people when I grew up. It taught me how to be kind to people and always have a smile on your face and just be kind to people and treat people the way you would want to be treated. And that's one of the aspects of this football life that came out. It also touches on my work ethic and how it was instilled in me by my parents. It covers Virginia Tech, who played a major role in me reaching the pinnacle of my profession. And obviously, the Buffalo Bills, where I had that long tenure of 15 years playing with that prolific offense, and Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, and James Laughlin, and Marv Levy, and so many others, and the fans of Buffalo. So it was quite the experience having the NFL Network follow me around for the last 4 months and put this piece together.
Bruce, do you ever look at your sack record of 200 and say, well, that's not going to be broken anytime soon? I mean, the only active guy right now that's remotely close is Terrell Suggs with 138, and he's in like year 17. I'm sorry, your record's just going to stand for a long time.
Well, you know, I don't. The only time I think of it or think about it is when someone brings it up, like we were doing this this radio show right now. It's not something that I focus on or I walk around and it's imprinted in my mind and I'm consciously thinking that, you know, you're that pass rusher that everybody talks about and so forth. But one of the things that people fail to realize, according to Pro Football Reference, I'm the all-time leading tackler in NFL history. What? Amongst defensive linemen. Mm. So that's when that's what I'm talking about. We talk about a complete player, and particularly having played in a 3-4 as opposed to a 4-3. If anybody is a student of the game, they will understand how difficult it is to get sacks in a 3-4 defensive lineman where you're outweighed typically by 30, 40, and 50 pounds, and you're going up against two offensive linemen because you're playing in a 3 technique, a 4 technique, or a 5 technique. You don't have the ability to play on that edge all 4 downs.
Who do you like in today's game? Who jumps out at you?
Well, there are a number of guys that I like, but see, this is about a body of work, and with that body of work, you just can't maintain that body of work for 3 or 4 or 5 years. It has to be a body of work that expands over 8, 9, 10 years and even beyond that. So the guys that I like right now, obviously, Khalil Mack, what a stud he is. Mm-hmm. Just a fantastic player. Von Miller, who's incredible. Aaron Donald, all of these guys are just standouts right now, and particularly in an era in which they throw the ball at least 25-30% more today than they did when I played.
Right. Who was the guy that you hated chasing down? I mean, nowadays, I mean, I don't know if you watched the game last night. Lamar Jackson's got to be a nightmare for defenses to prepare for. Who did you hate dealing with?
Yeah, the guy that really gave me a fit was Dan Marino, because he had the quickest release in the game.
Yep.
And not very many guys were able to have a great deal of success getting to Dan, because he would always get rid of the game. And you know, just another point, since you brought up Lamar, what an incredible athlete and an incredible player. However, it always catches up to you when you leave the pocket. At some point in time, there's going to be a hit that's going to be delivered that will wake him up and wake the team up. But as of right now, this young man is on his way to being the MVP of the league this year.
Hey, you might as well enjoy the ride while you can.
While you can, yeah.
All right, Bruce. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. People should check it out. A Football Life, it premieres this Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network.
Congrats. Thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate it, Bruce.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Talk to you later. Buddy.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Man, he played 19 years, dude. He played till he was 40.
He had 13 seasons with double-digit sacks. Think about that. 13.
I just can't imagine.
And he definitely still has a
crazy.
He doesn't want to hear about those flash in the pans and put up numbers for a couple
of
years.
No.
Not even 8 or 9 years.
Not
Jake's
even
not enough.
Nope.
I was thinking.
He's old school,
bro. I was thinking, like, is he impressed with J.J. Watt? He had a good 3 years. Probably not.
You know what he does? He laughs at J.J. Watt's sack totals. He sits back and points and laughs.
What a great – where does he stand on the all-time list then? Is he number one?
Number one.
Like, what's the next closest?
I mean, it's
I mean, 200 is such a great number.
I think it's Reggie White is right behind him. Reggie White is 198. Kevin Green, 160.
Ooh.
Julius Peppers, 159.5. And Chris Dolman at 150.
Peppers played forever, too. And he only
Peppers
had, like, 150-something?
2002 to 2018.
Yeah.
Well, he finished with nearly 160.
No one's going to break it.
Yeah. It's not going to be broken.
No one's going to break it. I mean, what's Khalil Mack have, though?
He's way down the list.
By the way, when we started this show.
And say he doubles his career.
We talk about this all the time. But when we started this show in 1997 full-time, on the weekends in 1996, the Redskins were a disappointing team, right? They would disappoint us. But at least it was fun. They brought in guys like Dion and Bruce Smith and had LeVar. They had talent. It's so sad what has become of this team.
Khalil Mack, 59.5.
That's all he's got. So
what about J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt's not even at 100.
He's not even at 100?
Nope.
It's pretty much, he's injured all the time.
And he's breaking down. J.J. Watt's at 96.
Didn't they bring in Adam Archuleta at the same time they brought in Bruce, or no? Am I wrong about that? It was right around that time.
It was around that same era. Yeah. It was the Archuleta, Brandon Lloyd. Yeah. That sort of era for the Skins.
The good old days, Case.
Yeah, some would call it the good old days.
Yeah.
No, they've been bad for a long time, but at least during that era, they won. They're better than a 2-win team, I know that. They were disappointing. They got Bruce Smith at the end. They got Dion when he couldn't cover anymore. But they were not this. They were not a 2-9 team.
Tickets weren't going for $4. All right, when we come back, you want to get into EP? Tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment? And I've asked Valdez if he could find some of the performances from the AMAs. I got a text from Lurch yesterday.
This is Matt Valdez.
He said, I'm begging, please tell me that you grilled the performances of the AMAs.
So he watched it.
Jason associate producing?
Yes.
Look at that.
No. I find that Jason, he sneaky misses the show when he doesn't do it, because when we were at happy hour at the Palm on Friday night, he asked me like two different things. He goes, did you guys talk about this? Did you talk about this?
Right.
Did you talk college football?
Yeah. No, he wanted to know if we trashed the performances. Right. He said in particular, Selena Gomez, you see if you can find that one, was hideous. And he said Ozzy was comically bad.
Oh, really?
So we'll have to play
Ozzy's got to be almost 70. Like, I can't believe he's still performing.
We'll play some of those performances and we'll judge them ourselves. All right. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Reminder, new feature on Radio.com is the Rewind feature. You can rewind up to 24 hours. So if you miss an interview, like our interview with Joe Theismann, just hit the Rewind button. You can check it out.
Or, you know, go back to the beginning of the show with Matt Valdez basically taking his pants off in the first segment talking about Lamar just scorching the Rams last night on national TV. You could rewind to that.
5 touchdown passes on 20 pass attempts, 15 completions. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and 95 rushing yards. Just throw that cherry on top,
pretty
too.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty solid performance.
The Ravens are just smashing teams. The Rams don't even resemble a team that was in the Super Bowl a year ago.
I mean, it looked like the number one team in college football taking on, like, Prairie View A&M. I mean, it was just such a mismatch. It'd be tough for the Rams to rebound from that one.
All right, anyway, that's on radio.com, the new and improved radio.com with the Rewind feature. But right now, we'll fast forward into the entertainment page.
Look at that.
Cakes, I kind of feel like you. I'm just mowing through paper cups these days.
Yeah, I feel bad every time I walk out. I see like the Entercom like placard in the kitchen. It's like, Entercom's one thing to save the environment. You know, use a mug. You know, use soft lighting, whatever. Turn the lights off.
And I'm mowing through like 5 cups a day.
I think it's a pretty solid day for me. Only 3.
Only 3.
3
yeah.
cups. It's a 3-cup day.
It's just sort of out of habit. I walk around and I just grab a cup and get some water when I, you know, just killing time.
I just couldn't believe what was happening in the break room before the segment started. EB was moaning about, you know, getting Cheerios to eat during the next segment because he's so bored.
Yeah.
And then
literally eating
so
out of boredom.
He thought he was going to buy the regular.
I was going to get the regular ones.
The OG Cheerios.
Yeah.
Instead, he makes a better purchase and buys the Honey Nut Cheerios that actually have some flavor.
So
and I
delicious.
Said, why are you complaining about more flavor? He said, higher sodium.
Trying to watch my sodium. Trying to keep my sodium content.
You know what I try to do? Get as much sodium as possible. As much salt as I can get on an item. Right. That's what I try to do. When I was at the Dutch Market over the weekend and bought 6 pretzels for $11, I said, gotta make sure they're salted.
Right.
I don't want an unsalted pretzel.
I did that
That's
one time.
That's very un-American.
I said, I just want a regular pretzel, whatever just the regular pretzel was.
Yeah.
And they gave me an unsalted one, and I'd already paid for it.
You should take that pretzel.
I couldn't believe
it. Throw it right back in their face.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, unsalted pretzel. What are we talking about here?
All right, so Valdez, have you found any of the performances from the AMAs? I will say, I only watched about 10 minutes of it, and I happened to catch it right at the right time. I wanted to see Taylor Swift because I was intrigued if she was going to play her old songs.
Right.
And she did.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have Taylor performing, but I watched Taylor perform and it was fine. Whatever. As Jason said in his text to me, she was like Madonna compared to everybody else.
Okay.
They were so bad. But it wasn't that amazing. A lot of these performers, when you hear them live,
mm-hmm.
it's a big letdown. Because you can tell that the studio just totally hooks their
voice.
Now,
I'm a Tay Tay veteran because I saw her at Nats Park, I think in 2015. Sounded good to me.
She probably had backing vocals.
Probably did.
Backing track.
I'm sure she had a sweetener.
She's probably just singing over it.
Possibly.
It's just kind of pitchy and just eh. But anyway, I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was fine. Jason texted me. He trashed Selena Gomez's. By the way, I just checked her out. I wanted just, for whatever reason, I just Googled her on Instagram. Selena Gomez has 162 million followers on Instagram. What do you think about that for a second?
It's actually lower than I would expect.
What?
How much does Taylor Swift have?
Less.
I feel like a lot of these people are in the 100 million.
The most as of September of 2019 is Cristiano Ronaldo. He has 181 million.
Oh, okay. I'm off as to how many people follow certain people.
Ariana Grande, 163 million. Selena Gomez, right behind her.
Gotcha.
All right, is this Selena? All right. Jason said this was unbelievably bad. I saw the signs and I know it. Rose-colored glasses are distorted. Set fire to my purpose. And I let it burn. You got off on the hurting. When it was yours. Stop the song. Stop. Just stop, Kate. This dancer was killing me
softly. I needed to hate you to love me. But you like this song?
I actually... Oh, yeah. Oh, I like the song. I like the song. It just shows you they hook these kids in the studio and just make them sound pitch perfect.
I didn't think it sounded that bad. I just don't like the song.
That song stinks that's eight a good sheets song. Of ice.
It's a good song.
Is she known for not being able to sing?
Well, she said she has crippling anxiety.
And then she had nervous.
No, she said she had a panic attack right before it.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
That's what Xanax are for.
Did she get criticized for the performance afterwards?
Yeah, of course she did.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
And then so she said I had crippling anxiety and I was...
Oh, that's the hot news story is that she had a panic attack before the performance. She says she has crippling anxiety. And then everyone's saying,
perform if you have crippling anxiety.
It's hard. She got 162 million followers on Instagram.
Get into a different line of work.
Why, it pays so well, Cakes.
I'm sure it pays great.
Yeah.
But if you have crippling anxiety, might not be the line of business you should be in.
Play Ozzy. I don't care. That wasn't very good.
Hold on. When you play Ozzy.
Well, see, now he's going to be defensive.
No. I want you. It's fine. You're going to goof on Ozzy. But I want you to play some Ozzy in his prime, too, as a follow-up. So people don't just goof on him and realize he is one of the forefathers of heavy metal.
He's performing the song that he does with Post Malone and Travis Scott. And this is only like a 30-second clip.
Right.
Because all the other ones like have been scrubbed from the internet.
Is that true?
I don't know. I couldn't find it on YouTube or Twitter or anything else.
Right.
So this was like the one from our audio service.
Sound that bad, actually.
You know what sounds bad? It's the auto-tune that's just crushing Ozzy. The guy going,
is that Travis Scott or is that Post Malone?
I can't tell.
Actually, Ozzy, I didn't think like Ozzy sounded that bad.
How about Ozzy's? He's the only redeeming thing in that 20-second clip. The rest of it should be shot straight into the sun. Ozzy's the only thing that saves it.
I didn't think Ozzy was that bad. Did you have any of the other? Did Lizzo perform? Girl Lizzo?
I hope she
did.
Sick.
I didn't pull that one.
I saw her Billie in a big orange dress. She was hot.
I have Billie Eilish, if you want to hear that. I was crushing that.
Yeah, you said it was poop. I listened to it. I didn't think it was. I like Billie Eilish, too, though.
Billie Eilish a guy or a girl?
Girl.
Okay. This song is money.
I think it sounds perfect.
Guys just don't like pop music.
I do not. You know what? I don't like pop music.
No.
I'm officially Cakes, checked out.
Cakes
on
is
pop
out
music.
On pop music and anything urban.
Pretty much, yes. That's pretty accurate. Look at you. You know what this
dude?
All this
like
tells
her.
Me?
I think you would like her. You like bands and I know with this like already. Chick lead singers.
No. Here's what I like. I like bands with a chick lead singer with all males behind her.
She's got her brother.
Nah, it doesn't count. That's not the right
the
dynamic.
Duo.
The dynamic I need is like
an Evanescence. Paramore.
No Doubt. You like No Doubt? Gwen Stefani?
Somewhat.
Too poppy?
Yeah, maybe a little too poppy, a little too much ska thrown in there for your boy. But Paramore, that's my sweet spot.
No, I get sights for Billie Eilish.
Rock is officially dead. Rock is dead. Basically. It's been dead for 15 years, but these clips just cement it. It's right. Dead.
Right.
Who was the big winner? Who won the most awards?
Taylor Swift.
Well, I think she's got the most all time now.
Yeah.
I think she has 29. I think she won like
What's
six?
The difference between, like, the Grammys is more respected. Is American Music Awards just popular?
American Music Awards, I believe, is fan voted so that the artists actually get sized because fans vote on it. The Grammys is just like stuffy, like the Oscars.
Right.
But I think it's the most prestigious.
Yeah.
You know, you win a Grammy. If you have a Grammy on your mantle, it doesn't get it. Grammy and Oscar, the two best. That and I guess maybe
the Heisman.
The Heisman. If you
Green
got
jacket.
Some replica Stanley Cup thing.
Green jacket's
Green
a
jacket.
Really good one, too. It's a good flex.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's a solid flex.
What could be a better flex than any of those? I don't know, man.
Nothing.
Right?
I mean, if you walk into somebody's house and they've got a Grammy, Or they've got a freaking
like
got
even
an
if you
Oscar
were just
statue.
Like a producer, like you got a producer credit Grammy.
Well, it just means you're at the height of your game. Mm. You've reached the pinnacle.
That's why I just wanted to win an Emmy for table manners. Every jerk in town that like
you have
like,
to like buy. You have to buy the award.
No, I know. We paid to be nominated. Every local newscaster has some dumb local Emmy.
Why are you
devaluing your money? Them? You paid for it.
Huh?
They're all getting bitter at you. You're devaluing.
Well,
them.
Because
say
because
everyone
I,
has one.
Why are you goofing
I know.
On Steve
so I was like,
Chevy.
Well, they got to at least give us one. That was a damn. We submitted two damn good episodes. They were really good.
So what won?
Don't know.
You can't remember.
Know we didn't even get. No. We submitted it. We didn't even get to be like in the top five or whatever. We didn't even get to be, like, in the program.
Does it really affect you in 2019? You still
no,
think
it bothers,
about it?
It bothers me. If you bring it up, it bothers me.
Well, I'll never bring it up with you then.
No, it bothers me. Because, of course, you should have won. But you're right. All it is just like, it's like old boy network where everybody just votes for each other.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And nobody votes
we're
for the
outsiders.
Junks. Nobody votes for the junks ever!
You're not out there shaking hands, glad-handing.
Well, you know what?
I swear to God, that was Emmy-worthy. I think the one episode we did was with Jeremy Roenick, which was, I think, the first one we taped, which was brilliant. And then I'm not sure with the other one we
submitted.
Well,
there were some damn good Junks TV episodes, too. Why weren't we nominated there?
Not produced on that level.
Cakes and I were punching each other.
Professor Cakes.
Yeah, Professor Cakes gave invaluable fantasy advice.
Those were silly.
Good segment, but it wasn't produced like this. This was perfect. Perfect episode.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
No, it's just, you know, nobody votes for us. Nobody ever votes for
definitely
us.
Definitely feeling slighted.
Yeah. We should have an Emmy. I should have an Emmy on my freaking fireplace.
You're next to your Counting Crows gold record.
Yeah, with Bob Waugh's name on it.
I get sized for that. You act like that's like I should be ashamed of that. That's a silly possession. Why would that not be a silly possession?
Because you had nothing to do with Mr. Jones.
Yeah, I know, but it's a piece of memorabilia.
How good is Omaha? I mean, it's kind of dreary and depressing, but it's good.
I don't know, it's not the gold record. I think I have the platinum.
You got the platinum. Yeah,
the
gold
platinum
records.
Silly.
Get gold records out of here. You eat platinum.
That Counting Crows, that joint went platinum for sure. 100%.
Are you got anything besides the AMAs?
Yes.
Tease us.
All right. There are pictures of Justin Timberlake holding hands with his co-star out and about in New Orleans, and they're trying to act like it's not a big deal. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Thank you, DJ Valdez, playing some Ozzy from about 20-plus years ago. I do appreciate that.
All right, so I don't know if you boys have seen this, but there are pictures that are out there of Justin Timberlake in New Orleans.
I have not seen them.
I saw the story.
Hanging with his co-star, Alicia Wainwright. They're there.
Seems
filming.
Kind of ballsy. He's married to
Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel.
They're filming an upcoming movie, Palmer, in New Orleans. And they took a break. They say, I guess it was a midnight trip to a bar where they had some drinks on the balcony. So they're on the balcony in New Orleans, midnight.
Canoodling.
Just the two of them. And they're photographed where the girl, she has her hand on his knee. All right, like this, Cake. So you're getting uncomfortable right now. You're
well, I mean, that's like a real real tickle spot for your boy, Flakesy, the knee. So it's a sensitive spot.
So she has her hand on his knee.
Yeah.
And then there's another portion where they have an image where her hand is on his like leg, and he's holding her hand. He's holding your effing hand. And then they supposedly spent 40 minutes together alone on the balcony. And then they met some other castmates or behind-the-scenes people or whatever at another portion of the bar and hung out there. So basically, people from the movie went out to have drinks, you know, after a day of shooting.
Sure.
But they spent 40 minutes alone on the balcony holding hands before they went to the other. And they're trying to act like it's no big deal. Hey, they're brother and sister.
Maybe they're method actors. Maybe they're a couple in the movie and they're doing that bit. Oh, well, we can't break our character thing.
But they say they're like brother and sister. They're definitely not hooking up. She's actually dating an actor who lives in L.A. And, of course, he's married to Jessica Biel. Let's go around the room and ask.
100% that they're at least flirting heavily, probably influenced by drinking. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And they just got carried away.
That's the bare minimum.
Right. They're not like
Valdez,
brother and sister.
Going out, hands on each other's knees, and then holding hands.
They've kissed.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
That's my max.
By the way, they play lovers in the film.
Of course they do.
Right? Adam. Not that you know anything. Not that you would have any instinct on this, but I'm curious.
I just don't think you could cheat on Jessica Biel.
So what is your take?
That they're just, I mean, that they're
just
friends.
Pals.
So that they just hold hands. When was the last time you held hands with a chick?
I mean, probably never.
You've never had that PDA?
It's just been a while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
Have you ever just been friends with a girl and at a bar had drinks and you were holding her hand?
Absolutely, it's happened to me, but I wanted to be friends with benefits and it wasn't happening.
If you're holding hands with a woman, this is my perspective. Yeah. It's on. Yeah. It's fully on. Like, if you're holding hands with a woman in public, it's basically on.
If you're sitting somewhere and your hand is on the other guy's lap,
that's
on his knee.
That's the thing, is that, yeah, the hand is on the knee.
The hand is on the knee. By the way, he's got those jeans that are all ripped to shreds, you know, probably $1 million jeans.
And she probably knows, like, that could be an erogenous zone for him.
Yeah, like, Kate's got all squirmy. He got like all homoerotic when I touched his knee. He got all turned on.
No, he's incorrect.
He's either stepping out or close to stepping out,
right,
on Jessica
There's
Biel.
No way.
It doesn't matter how hot she is. By the way, Justin Timberlake has had every hot chance.
Yeah, I mean, you're acting like he can't cheat on Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel's probably dog poop compared to what he's had.
I don't know about that. I think she's perfect. If you've seen Chuck and Larry, she's so silly.
Who has seen Chuck and Larry? I don't even know what that is.
Could you pick like a worse credit?
It's a great Adam Sandler movie.
Oh my God!
Was that like a Netflix only?
No, and he teams up with the other fat guy,
Kevin James.
Yeah, the mall cop.
Right.
You know what? It sounds like it's right up your alley.
It's a great comedy. Don't sleep on it.
Great comedy.
Do you think in the next 6 months we'll be reading about Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake breaking up?
No,
I wouldn't be shocked.
Or they will survive this.
No,
I think it's survivable.
I don't think we know enough. Like, they may already be separated and we just don't know.
Or maybe they have an agreement.
So I'm going to say that's possible.
Maybe they have an arrangement.
They don't have an agreement. They say she's been very uncomfortable with her body since she had the baby. She's very insecure and stuff.
I didn't know all these details.
Yeah, yeah. There's no chance she has an agreement.
Okay.
I'm going to say within 6 months we're going to read their bust up.
He seems like a slicky boy, smooth talker.
And you know what? I've always had a theory. And with him and some of these other celebrities.
He can just smooth it over with her. He can talk his way out of it.
He's one of these celebrities that gets bitter when the paparazzi are following him. And my theory is he's bitter because they're blowing up his game. You know what I mean? Celebrities like Justin Timberlake, they can't run around and creep because the paparazzi are always tagging them, following them.
It's true.
So there are certain celebs that are always freaking out at the paparazzi, and they're like giving them the finger. They're just real jerks.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're supposed to be these super nice guys.
Yeah.
But it's because they're blowing up their side piece action.
I want to buy that theory.
Huh? I root for the theory.
That's my theory. There are other guys I won't name who do the same way. They do the same thing to
poor Justin Timberlake. The paparazzi's in my face. You know what? You can afford some adversity in your life, my friend.
Right. Well, yeah, he can afford everything,
but he can't run around. Justin Timberlake jerk story on the golf course.
Yeah, he's told.
Oh yeah, he's at the Shriners that he's always a part of.
I do remember hearing something like that.
He's a jerk that have children that have cancer or something.
he was like the face of the tournament or something, and the tournament organizer said he was a total nightmare to deal with.
Yeah, he was a pain to deal with. He didn't want to do anything.
Does that surprise anybody?
Yeah. Meanwhile, he goes on Ellen and he acts like he's the greatest guy in the world.
Right.
I mean, he's a douche. He's talented, though. I do like his music. Again, like Tiger Woods. By the way, it's been like 10 years since Tiger crashed his Escalade.
It's right around Thanksgiving,
right? Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Right?
2009, 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I was reading an article. You could Google it, where some guy interviewed a bunch of the neighbors from it, where they are now, like Jamie Jungers and some of the other girls. He actually even tracked the Escalade.
They did a Where Are They Now?
Yes. Nice. He tracked the Escalade. 156,000 miles later, it's still going.
Hey, that's a silly purchase. Don't you want to have that as your car?
They tracked it down. The owner refused to talk, though.
I'm sure.
Valdez, for the next Best of the Junkies in the Morning, why don't you track down our Tiger bit where we sent Muhammad out as a Tiger lookalike in D.C.
Yeah, like on M Street in Georgetown.
That was almost 20 years
ago. With his golf club.
I'm saying he's got to track it down.
That was 20 years ago.
People thought he was Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I mean, people are so dumb.
People are stupid.
Put a Nike hat on him and a Nike shirt.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Let's say, because you just got like a SUV, like a used Escalade.
Yeah, my Escalade. I drove it today.
Exactly, for like snow and everything. Yeah. Let's say you could buy that one, or you could buy Tiger's one. All right, same miles, and maybe it's just like $2,000 more.
Of course,
you could buy Tiger's.
Of course,
dumbest question ever.
Would you go around saying that you're riding in Tiger's Escalade?
I'd probably change the license plate to Tiger.
He probably paint it like a look like a Bengals uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
He may have visited Tiger's restaurant more than Tiger.
Dude, my buddy, I won't say
the woods.
My buddy stays in Chicago, and he knows exactly which suite Tiger used to bang chicks in because it was on the messages. Like, he would tell the girl, go to room 319 or whatever. He stays in that room sometimes.
So do you want to go in with a black light? Tiger sycophants out there than you guys?
Why wouldn't you want to stay in the room where Tiger was slaying sillies?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm normal.
You don't think a normal person would want to do that?
Aren't you going to Florida in 2 weeks so you can go to the woods again?
Am I going to Florida?
Are you going to Jupiter?
But I'm going to the Gulf side.
Oh. Well, don't doubt you drive into the woods.
No, I'm not driving. That's way too far. Too far.
We'll be there in February or March for that spring
training. We'll be there before you know it, though. That's right.
All right, we got to get out of here. Chase can be happy because you did your AMAs. For Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant Danny next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.